Hello, another episode of One for the Table. Yeah.
Yay.
I am your host, Kim Chi.
And I'm John Kung.
And we are here today to talk about a lot of random things like we always do.
Like we always do.
And go off topic. Mm-hmm. So normally, like, I always drink my coffee black, right?
Yes.
But this week when I was like grocery shopping at a regular grocery store and not like a Korean grocery store or like Trader Joe's or something, mm-hmm. like a regular, like, normal grocery store.
Yeah.
I saw a creamer that was like cinnamon coffee cake flavored.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I never use creamers, but I do like cinnamon coffee. So I do like the idea of this like cinnamon coffee creamer. So I got it.
Is it delicious?
Yeah. So normally like when I go to a cafe and then order like a latte or something, and then they offer you like, oh, what kind of like milk would you like? I just automatically default to like oat milk or soy milk.
Yeah.
Because I feel like trained.
Yeah.
Believe like that's like a healthier choice for me, you know? And I don't think about it.
I always assumed when Asian people did that, it's because they were lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Which I'm not. So anyways, I get this creamer, just made it real cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I add it to my coffee. And I don't think I've ever actually had coffee made with real cream.
Oh, really?
In my life. I mean, I'm an avid coffee drinker because I've only drinking black or...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
With nut milk or whatever.
It's luxurious.
This is the first time like using real cream in a coffee. And my God. When I took the first sip and I was like, wait, I brew this coffee every day and I know exactly what it tastes like. But what was going down my throat felt like this like caramelly, mm-hmm. like creamy, rich, velvety sensation that was like, it felt like, it honestly felt like liquid gold going down my throat. And then
yeah, because, it's that, mm-hmm. it's that anime wow sound effect that you hear.
Literally,
but like,
wow. Let me see if I can find it.
And because it was like cinnamon coffee flavored, you know, like I love cinnamon coffee.
Yeah.
You added that like little kiss of cinnamon that I was like looking for.
Yeah.
And I was like, so this is why people use real cream. Literally.
It's that.
Wow. Like, I feel like I've like really missed out on something my entire life. I mean, it's probably for the best for that I haven't been using cream.
It is for the best because like heavy cream and like deep cream is like not exactly mm-hmm. the best thing for you when it comes to a lot of, I guess, fitness goals and health mm-hmm. goals, but it is very nice. I mean, like, as often as you would be willing to eat an ice cream, I feel, is a good comparison.
Because
it is, it's a treat. It's a treat. Yeah. I'm into it. Like, we used to drink like half and half in my coffee and stuff, and that was also nice.
Have you ever tried the, like, the bulletproof coffee?
With the butter? No.
Yeah.
It doesn't... Oily coffee does not sound
You think appealing. It'll be oily, but it's not.
Oh, really? Have you tried? So you've tried
yes,
it?
Yes, I've tried it. Where
you put like a tablespoon? Is it a tablespoon of butter?
I didn't put that much. I just put like a little like touch on my black coffee. Okay. But the first time I did it, you know how I used to drink like my coffee iced always?
Uh-huh.
So I put the butter in and I just like put ice in it just like... Like
girl, did it congeal or not congeal, solidify? So you had chunks of butter.
Oh, mama. The butter congealed into like a million little pellets. Cold little pellets.
That was like and sandy.
That was like the stupidest thing I've ever done. And you know, I had like a metal reusable straw. And yes. I like the moment I took the first sip and I'm like, it's like butter boba. Oh. And of course, like inside the straw, like the butter got like all stuck up
in there. Stuck up in there. That's what your pipes look like when you dump oil down the drain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was disgusting. But so I tried it again in the normal way in a hot coffee. Mm-hmm. And I use like the good butter too.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, really good. It's not something I do often, but if you're curious, it's definitely worth trying because it does add like that, you know, like that butter. Like when you bake like shortbreads or something or like pie crust, you know, like that mm-hmm. buttery flavor. You get that buttery flavor and
like
creamy.
And I like flavored coffee enough that I would totally try it. Actually, this is the first week that I've done it fully, but I've been taking a sip every morning of like a tablespoon of really high quality olive oil mm-hmm. for like health purposes.
Coffee?
No, just like straight up as because I'm just like listening to you, like starting your day off with like a nice fatty thing, mm-hmm. like butter. And that made me think of that. Because I don't cook with olive oil a lot, because like Asian or Chinese food, at least, mm-hmm. it's not very like harmonious with olive oil when you're like yeah. sauteing and cooking them.
Because you need like a high boil, like high, like a smoke point, right?
Smoke point. And there's also like that flavor of olive oil doesn't really go mm-hmm. with like soy sauce, I don't find. Mm. But it is very, very good for you. Like there's mm-hmm. so many studies on like longevity studies, overall quality of life studies, health studies that like point to olive oil being really good. And so like I was just like, okay, well, I'll just do like a tablespoon of it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And one of the weird things is I found that like I think connected to it, I'm actually just less hungry over the course of the day.
Mm.
And I looked into it and found like a lot of fat activate something in your stomach that makes it like contract and shrink so that you feel fuller.
And olive oil is like a good fat that burns fat, right?
So. Yeah, or I don't know if it's like it goes that far.
I can't speak on it from like a scientific form because I'm a nutritionist, but
it is
what
a healthy fat.
Yeah.
And I do have more energy. So like that's one thing I'm doing. But I take the sip of olive oil first and then I start my morning coffee routine.
I have a girlfriend and she has like really like thick, luscious hair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do you maintain this? And she says, every morning, like when I eat my breakfast, I like drench it in olive oil.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I've heard olive oil is good for your hair as well. But mm-hmm. I heard like drinking it or like consuming more of it leads to healthier hair.
But I guess, if you're going to eat breakfast and then like put olive oil in it, I guess, you know? Also, like you have to get good olive oil too, because there's a big difference between like grocery store, like olive oil that's been sitting on your shelf for 8 months as opposed to like fresh olive oil.
Yeah. I do Brightland it's a Californian one. They come in those like pretty white bottles.
Mm.
Oh, speaking of pretty packaging, how do you like your Wild Wonder stuff?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. Had like a nice little robust raspberry flavor, mm-hmm. like a little sweetness. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Cool. It's a little like
mm-hmm.
health drink. That's like, I think it's based off of Chinese medicine or something.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm always down for probiotics, although I probably get enough of it from kimchi.
Yeah, true.
But speaking of eating like olive oil first thing in the morning, I feel like there's so many different science based on like what you should be eating first thing in the morning. Because I hear when you wake up, you should be drinking 2 cold glasses of water to flush the toxins. Or when you wake up, you should be like diluting 1 tablespoon of like apple cider vinegar with your water, like to... And this is like the ultimate like dilemma, like when you go to brunch too,
mm-hmm.
like you're thirsty, so you don't drink water, but then you also need coffee. But then the brunch place is like really good fresh squeezed juice.
Mm.
And then some people need like mimosa, and then somehow like you end up with like 4 glasses. Like
I always, when I'm at brunch with friends, I'm always a coffee and a water guy. And then mm-hmm. I'll order the juice later, mm-hmm. I think. I'll order like the juice with the food.
Mm.
If they have really good juice. But one of like the breakfast health things, or like if there is like a health thing that somebody does or somebody mm-hmm. says or claims, and one of the claims is like, quote, flushing out toxins and stuff, that's a red mm-hmm. flag. Because flushing out the toxins is what your liver does. It's not what anything you eat does.
Mm. Or another one I heard is like drink 2 glasses of water to like jumpstart your metabolism.
I mean, also guess.
Drinking water like wouldn't hurt anybody. Like we all.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Yeah. We can all stand to drink more water. So I think it's always beneficial. And I don't drink enough water in the mornings.
Oh, you don't? That's the first thing I do when I wake up.
Drink a bunch of water. Oh, yeah. I know. I've seen you with your sippy cups.
But also, I think because I use like the CPAP machine and it dries out my mouth like throughout the
night.
Oh,
yeah.
So the first thing I do is like, moisture. Moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So olive oil is like what you do wake up in the morning then?
Yeah, olive oil and a cup of coffee, maybe like an apple or something before I work out because I don't to go to an apple.
I forgot you're one of those like you love your apple.
I love apples. Oh my gosh. And like have you had any of these like newer varieties of apples yet?
No, we've talked about it, and I do not like apples.
You don't like that? Oh, that's right. What is it that you don't like about apples? Just like the apple flavor?
I love like apple and things. Like I love apple and salad. I love like apple and pastries, you know. But just something about eating just like an apple,
mm-hmm.
I do not love. And you know me, like I'm not like picky about ingredients in food.
You're not. Like if you don't, I feel like if you don't like something,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you've given it as many chances as it could possibly have.
Yes.
Like,
and this is one of those things where like,
sure.
I've tried. There's no logical reason behind it. There's no like rhyme or reason. It's not a texture thing. It's not a flavor thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
And like, every time I eat it, I'm like, why am I eating this? Like, I'm not having a good time.
See, I love like the crispiness, like juiciness. If the apple is mealy at all, it's trash. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's like the worst.
Mm-hmm.
A mealy apple, like the Red Delicious apples, if it's at all reminds me of a Red Delicious apples, it is like the grossest thing in the world. But if it is like crispy, crunchy, snappy, juicy, then I'm just like, oh, I want more of this. This is all I want throughout the wintertime. And so I've been eating Cosmic Crisp apples, and they're so good. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Amazing apples.
I think my favorite usage of apple is the following two. Like tart apple sliced like thinly, and then like in a sandwich with like turkey and brie.
Ooh, yeah.
Or like white cheddar and like turkey, like that kind of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or like chopped up and then like one feels like salad with like pecans and blue cheese and
as like a nice little like sweet counter to like something that's savory or funky. That's always really good.
And I love apple butter. Apple butter is great. Like apple butter should never quit. Apple butter should never stop. Like apple butter is great with cheese. It's good with like good on sandwiches. It's good on breakfast. It's good on pancakes. Not that
I don't use apple butter enough. I really need to. I mean, like I feel like Michigan people. I know, like Michigan is like the center of like apple butter.
Literally, I feel like the thing to do in apple the fall is like ranch. Everyone goes to Orchard and then you buy like bags of like apples and then come home and you turn it all into apple butter.
I like cider apples too.
Oh. You know, I think I loved apple cider, and I think I used to love apple cider donuts when I was young because it was just like a thing to get in the fall. Like when you're from Michigan, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
But now that I realize it might be, not to sound Asian, too sweet for me.
Apple cider donuts?
Apple cider donuts and apple cider.
And apple cider. Honestly, if they made an unsweetened apple cider that you could like sweeten on your own, that would be so good.
They should do that. I would totally buy that.
They should do like an unsweetened cider.
Wouldn't it's like a sugar bomb when I drink it.
It really is. I wonder if apple cider.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, apple cider vinegar is probably just like apple cider that's just been set out for too long. They should give like raw unsweetened apple cider. That would probably be so delicious.
I feel like this day and age, you know, like there's got to be someone who makes something like this.
There has to be. There has to be. And if you're listening, hit us up on our Instagram and maybe we can convince Kim to fly all the way to Michigan where you are, because you probably are in Michigan, and we will visit your cider place and drink your unsweetened raw apple cider.
I mean, not a euphemism. Michigan, you know. I'll go to Michigan.
I don't know when.
I'll go to Michigan.
Not for free, but I'll go.
No, I'll go with like, you know, if the stars align.
Right. Yeah. Apple cider donuts. I think I don't think I've had a full apple cider donut on its own. To be honest.
You've never been to like an apple orchard and then they just have like...
I've been to an apple orchard once and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what it was about it. It might have been like the people I was there with, but I was just like not comfortable. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. It was just weird. I was just like weirded out by like everything about that experience. So I had never gone again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be willing to give it another shot. But yeah, apple cider, because they also sell like apple cider donuts at Eastern Market on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
But like they always look so... I'm a person that likes a yeasted donut. I like the donuts that are like a little bit chewy, not cakey. The donuts that just go like that.
Like the airy, like
that snap, that smacky, that it makes your... It kind of sticks to the roof of your mouth, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those donuts. I don't like cake donuts and I don't like crumbly donuts. So every time I see an apple cider donut, it looks like one of those. And I'm just like, that looks like it's dry.
You know, I used to be a fan. I used to be exactly like you.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a place here in LA that like specialized in cake donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And someone like brought a box to like an event that I was at. And there's like different kinds, but this one in particular, it was like a blueberry cake donut.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good start.
And then like a lemon glaze.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
And like when I bit into it, it was like 50% blueberry.
Ooh.
And it was like so moist and like the crumbly cake like texture like went perfectly with the donut.
So it was almost like a moist cake instead of a crumbly cake?
Yeah.
Oh, that
And like the light lemon glaze gave it like that the sweetness and acidity that I love.
Of course. Yeah, I was about to say, of course you love it.
But the problem is, I've never like took down the name of the donut place. I'm not that I need to like go and eat any more donut, but... So,
especially in LA, like you could go to
like I didn't even like really know, so it's not like I can like text this person and ask either.
Well,
but it was somewhere in LA that this donut exists, and it was really good.
Well, if you're in LA and you're listening to this podcast and you know the exact type of donut that we are talking about,
yeah, please let me know.
And let us know because I would like to try this too.
Again, not that I need to eat any more donut, like, but it will be nice to have an option if I wanted to.
Did you end up making corned beef anything?
I did.
You did?
And it was such a failure.
Oh, no. What did you do?
I was like, I was inviting over my Korean friend who's never had corned beef before.
Uh-oh.
I was like, I'm just going to make it in a traditional way, you know? And it always comes out, like, moist and all that.
Was it dry?
So, normally, like, I just, like, boil it, like, you know, till it's tender.
Yeah.
You know, but then in my TikTok, I was just getting a bunch of like corned beef recipes. So I was like, all right, let me follow this like one random recipe. It looks good. That was a big mistake because it was like the driest piece of like thing that like I've ever made.
Yeah.
And I've made it so many times and it's like.
Isn't it so weird how like when you make, when you kind of like boil meat like that, it might have been just like, you know. It just happened to be like you had to give it another hour or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I cooked it in the oven and the recipe was like, you know, like pour Guinness and then, you know, like brown sugar and all this. And so I was like, okay, maybe this might be the best corned beef I've ever made. It wasn't. It was the worst I've ever made.
Yeah, I think there's something about it where like when you're like roasting or making meat in liquid like that, like it needs... a long time and because oftentimes like it's better the next day anyway after it's had a chance to cool in the juice is better and safer if you're going to make it for somebody to do it the day before so that you know you have tons of time to do it.
Also don't experiment when you're inviting guests over.
I actually have, this is a horrible habit of mine too where it's like I never stick to a recipe. And ultimately, somebody comes over or somebody, like, I'm cooking for someone and I'm just like, oh, I decided to try it this way. And it was a total fail. And it's very embarrassing.
Yeah. Especially, you know, like, I mean, I'm, like, pretty good at cooking. But to show someone first time, like, that as my creation, I'm like, oh, my God. And you don't want to keep going, like, it's dry, I'm sorry, you know, either.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, as far as you know, they might not think so.
But I feel like... Deep down in our hearts, I knew and they knew that this beef was dry as hell. And you know, you can't trust everything you see in social media.
It's true. It's true. Also, like when you're traveling too, when I was in Puerto Rico, I tried doing my grilled cabbage thing. Mm-hmm. And the cabbages that I got there were the most bitter cabbages I'd ever had. And so when I grilled it, which is like such a minimal way of cooking it, the cabbages were bitter and I was just like, cabbages were bitter and tough and fibrous. I was like, this is so embarrassing. All of these other like food content creators are around me this cabbage was a fail. And it was awful. And I made tacos the next day, I think. I made like the tacos that I did I just released a video on these, like,
I saw
the, yeah, tacos. They're actually like really, really good. Mm-hmm. But you didn't forget, so I made the salt. That.
Huh? You don't forget the salt.
For the crema. But yeah, I made that because I was like, I can't have another lose. I can't do this again. And like, I don't know anything.
You're not going to fail this way.
Right. And I don't know what I can trust in here anymore. So what can I do? Oh, they have rotisserie chickens here. Oh, they've got enchilada sauce here. I'm going to do this.
You want like a full like Sandra Lee, like semi-homemade cooking.
Right. It's like, it's hard to trust. But then we also did the avocado and condensed milk thing with my salt, and that is really good. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. That chicken and chile taco looked really good. It almost made me want to go get a rotisserie chicken.
I'm going to try it again using Indian simmer sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I'm into this dump and heat.
So you've reached the casserole phase of your cooking.
I've reached the casserole phase. This is like when Buddhist monks reach enlightenment, where it's like nothing actually matters. Cook from the jar.
I mean, to be honest, half the time, all the people that watch cooking content, they're not making the dish for themselves.
They're not making
You save
them.
The recipe.
Yeah.
Knowing that you could make it one day if you wanted to. But like realistically, it's more of like the satisfaction of like watching it and knowing that I could make it.
Right. Than like I can read it. Right now, like showing you how many people. Okay, so let me just bringing up my Instagram. That short rib bulgogi, that short rib kalbijim dish that I did, it has been on Instagram for, I want to say, about a week. I posted it on March 17th. 266 people bookmarked it. Okay. And this pulled chicken, rotisserie chicken, dump a jar of enchilada sauce taco thing. I posted it 1 hour ago. 1,101 bookmarks.
I mean, it's like a simple recipe that, you know.
It's a simple recipe, and ultimately, like,
it speaks to people.
It does. And I do love doing like my complicated, like very imaginative kind of like experimental dishes and stuff like that. But I also want people to actually cook stuff that I make.
I mean, you want to balance, right? You want to show up your creativity and skills, but also you want to make things that people could actually recreate.
Right, right. I mean, like, I will pretty much try to focus. I like to focus on things that are easy that people can do, and just spatter in with enough like high quality chefy content to like shut up all the haters.
So the rotisserie chicken is the way to go.
The rotisserie chicken dump recipes are the way to go. And you know what? Rotisserie chicken masala tacos might be next.
The thing is, like, there's so many recipes. Like, I look and go like, oh, that looks delicious. I want to make it. Then I read the ingredient list and I'm like, okay, so there's at least like 10 pantry items that I don't have in my pantry currently.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go out and buy these like spices and seasonings just for this one recipe that I might make once, if not maybe twice.
Oh, well, maybe I could try it with like pre-cooked, like pulled pork from Costco.
Is that a thing? I don't think I've ever seen that at Costco.
Costco sells barbecue pork shoulder, pre-cooked. And then I also saw that they sell like brisket tips.
Oh, okay.
Pre-cooked. There is like a lot of pre-cooked meat out there at like the Costco's and stuff like that, because a lot of restaurants use them too.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like,
well,
how do you do it? I mean, like, if you're I'm not going to name names. It's better not to name names. But if there is a restaurant that serves a menu that is more than, I want to say, like more than 2 pages of entrees, chances are the meat is already cooked and came in a like sous vide bag that they just reheat.
I know people are like shocked to like learn about like how fast food operates. All the fast food restaurants, literally the kitchen staff, literally takes like a frozen bag, yeah. boils it, places yeah. it, and then it's yeah. off to the table. That's right. how they quality control, you know?
Exactly. And like there's quality control, there's safety, there's standardization, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Unless you're talking about like burgers and stuff, in which they, you know, they cook on a drill or a steamer or whatever. But I mean, do you think they cook all of that stuff at Cheesecake Factory in the kitchen?
No, as someone who's like witnessed the magic, it's literally like all frozen and comes in a bag. And
right. Right. Exactly.
It's just plated on like a really big, heavy plate. So you feel like you're getting your money's worth.
Which is so brilliant. Oh my God. Yes.
Honestly, a big, heavy plate and some parsley sprinkle.
Have you seen like some of the things like people trying to eat like the most calorically dense thing at a Cheesecake Factory? Yes,
and I think it's so stupid. Like, why? Like, this doesn't please me to watch it.
Let me see. What is
it? Or when like people do, you know, eating like 10,000 calories a day, like challenge. I'm like, why? Like, who are you challenging this for?
I do watch one person who does that, but he's like a 6'7" bodybuilder.
Oh, okay. Well, if and you're like, a bodybuilder, I guess it's a different story.
Yeah. I was God, I want to see this absolute giant of a man eat a literal sheet tray of steak. I'm fine with that.
What are you looking up?
Oh, I was looking up like the most unhealthy things that you can buy. Well, unhealthy, but like most calorically dense things that you could buy at like Cheesecake Factory. The number one is fish and chips. Whoa.
You know, food at Cheesecake Factory are like shockingly really caloric dense.
2,160 calories for a plate of fried fish and French fries.
And I know their nachos have like so many calories too.
Their nachos? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Louisiana chicken pasta. 2000. Oh, the fish and chips are the most, apparently, it looks like.
And they're like cheesecakes are like easily like 1,500 calories each.
Yeah. But that's not all that surprising. You can blow like nearly 1,000 calories out of getting like a venti frappuccino at Starbucks, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's crazy, like you have to like spend so much time on the treadmill to burn like 200 calories.
Like 10 minutes for 100?
About, yeah.
Yeah.
But like consuming 200 calories like a second.
Oh, easily. Without a, like I two it 200 calories is like 4 pieces of beef jerky.
Yeah. Or a bite of a cake.
Yeah. Which actually makes drinking a tablespoon of olive oil not that bad at 140.
Yeah, because when you start eating like whole foods.
Yeah.
Like not the grocery store, but like whole foods, right, you realize whole foods, like there's the payoff of like eating whole, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Lately, I'm doing this thing where, not that I was like eating so much chips, but like if I want something crunchy, I snack on sugar snap peas.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a pretty good substitution. It's like very satisfying and very crunchy, but also like refreshing and like a little sweet.
I do a lot of crudité.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep like carrots and romaine lettuce. I like that lady who does like cabbage chips or lettuce chips, or she tried calling it, and I was like, this is crudité. And I like having like baba ganoush and hummus and lots of toum, lots of like that Lebanese garlic stuff. It's so good.
Costco sells toum too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's actually pretty good. But I put mine like on the shelf, like the door.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was opening it, like it came out and like down. It fell. And my entire kitchen smelled like toum for 3 days.
Oh no.
And I wiped it up clean, but like my dog.
It's hard because it's oil. It's a garlic oil. Yeah.
My dog was on the kitchen floor just like licking it. I'm like, you got to stop that.
It's really good as a spread on sandwiches, but if you use toum as like a replacement for like sour cream, it's so nice.
Mm.
Oh, it's so, because it's like spicy and sour. It's peppery. Yeah. It's delicious. Oh my God.
But use it sparingly, right? Because it's still calorically dense.
It's very, very dense. Oh my gosh. But it's also like flavor packed, so worth it. And garlic. And garlic is good for you, so.
Yeah. But also, I mean, there's plenty of good things. Like, it's just good for you, you know? But if you overdo it.
Yeah, if you overdo anything.
Yeah. The other day, I tried elephant garlic for the first time.
What'd you think?
It was huge.
Yeah. But it's not as pungent, though.
Not as pungent, but it was nice to slice it thinly.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, keep it big and then eat it raw with, like, Korean barbecue. I was like, this is like,
could you like, was it big enough to like wrap? Maybe yes. Use it as like a, like some, a
chili. The pieces were like actually bigger than the meat. So if like I sliced it very thinly, sometimes like little garlic pieces, you know, like when you eat it like raw, it doesn't feel enough. But this one, there was a garlic in every bite and it was crunchy. And I was like,
That's a thing. That could totally be a thing.
Right? I feel like they should, someone should like find a way that elephant garlic can be like in all the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Where did you find it?
At Sprouts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because normally I've seen it at farmer's market, but I've never seen it at grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I like the garlic that is like it's normal sized or slightly smaller, but then you open it and it's just like one bulb.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, peeling is definitely like way less work too.
Yes.
And we're all about easy breezy.
Oh, I know.
Do you guys have a Sprouts in Michigan?
We don't. We have like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Plum Market, Meijer, Kroger. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Trader Joe's, you know what I thought was really funny this week?
What?
So, you know, like every now and then there's like one viral product that goes like viral at Trader Joe's and everybody like lines up to like buy it.
We were talking about the tote bag last time.
Yeah, before tote bags, it was like the frozen kimbap.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, before the frozen kimbap, it was, like, this, like, rosé tomato sauce. So, the new viral product that people are now, and that people are upset that it gets sold out, is frozen tofu skin.
Yeah, don't tell them that that's, like, everywhere in all the Asian grocery stores.
And then that was exactly my reaction. Like, I saw someone, like, oh, like they were sold out of like the tofu skin again. And I'm like,
that is like literally like.
And I understand not everyone has access to like an Asian grocery store like near their home.
But a lot of people, if you have access to a Trader Joe's, chances are you have access to an Asian grocery store somehow. Mm-hmm. And there, a lot of the people do have access. They're just scared to look, which is fine with me. But
I mean, it is intimidating, but when you walk into any Asian grocery store, and they'll have like a frozen tofu aisle.
They seriously.
Like everyone.
Yeah. And people still don't understand the concept. Like the people who like press their tofu and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, people who do that are under, act as if there's only one kind of tofu.
Yes.
It's like Chinese people don't press tofu because we just buy the right tofu for the job.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And but I guess all of this like a movement to like normalize like tofu in, you know, America.
I mean, yeah, we can normalize it, but they can also just do it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they don't have access to it because like I've seen so many different types of tofu in the grocery store. They have firm, medium, hard, but then like, you know, you can go even deeper and be like, oh, this tofu was processed with this stuff or this tofu was made out of this kind of bean instead. Mm-hmm. And then you can get all different types of textures, all different types of softnesses, and it's delicious. But if you press it, then you're just wasting your time and buying the wrong one.
Yeah. And then another hack that I saw was like, try freezing your tofu.
Yeah. I've heard of that before, and I had done it by accident. I put it under, I had a really old fridge back in the day, and I accidentally put the tofu in the wrong part, and it froze. And so I let it thaw, and I cooked it, and it's fine.
Yeah, but also you can buy from the grocery store like that. Also, like, it's not a hack. Yeah. It's something like, as an ingredient, like, it exists.
It already exists. And actually, they have, like, versions of that where it's, like, kind of like that chewy, meaty flavor. But they'll marinate it already, too. Like, a lot of it will be, like, marinated in chili paste or marinated in soybean paste. So it's, like, already savory and spicy and meaty, even meatier tasting because not only is it frozen, but it's marinated afterwards. And it's so good.
Mm-hmm. I love tofu.
Mm.
I actually, I buy tofu from like Asian grocery stores, but also I like buying it in bulk from Costco too, because I know like I'll go through it.
I like buying like the box tofu.
Yeah.
The like shelf stable stuff.
Like a box box? Okay.
The ones in a box you kind of like, they kind of just slip out. Yeah. But like, because like, I think we've had this conversation too before where it's like tofu and green onion. Mm-hmm. Or it's like you buy it when you need it, but then like when you need, like it also goes bad in your fridge.
Mm-hmm. Although tofu lasts a long time in your fridge.
Yeah, it does, but you need to continuously change that water.
Oh, I guess, but if you get the ones that are sealed, though, usually like the shelf life is at least like 3 months.
Yeah, but it's but I never have tofu when I need it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now I just have like boxes of it in my pantry.
But I mean, you don't go to Asian grocery store in like 3 months. You can even get tofu at American grocery stores nowadays.
I can't even like it within 3 months. That's a drive to Madison Heights. I avoid it if I can.
Even Whole Foods has tofu. Even like,
Not the tofu that I would drive for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'd rather buy box tofu.
It's Japanese. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's,
no, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you know, I'm just saying tofu lasts a while. So I mean, you've got to go grocery shopping more frequent than like once every 3 months.
Really hate leaving my house.
Mm. The hermit lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. I get it. You do you, boo.
Yeah.
I guess I like always have tofu in hand because like a lot of Korean soups and stews use tofu. So.
I always have to remember to use it.
Mm-hmm. But it's so good.
It is. I agree.
You could even just like braise it in like soy sauce and like vinegar. And
eat it over rice. Like egg. Like steamed egg. Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah. Or you could like stir fry it with egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could, like, I wish I would think about these things at the time.
Yeah. No, I guess you're off the cuff.
Yeah, that is one of the problems with like me where I like don't cook with a recipe most of the meals that I make for myself. So I'm like, oh, whatever's in front of me, except like these things are rarely in front of me when they're in my refrigerator. So
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You do you.
I do.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
So John thinks this chicken, dumb chicken video might be his best performing video.
It of might the year. Be. It's the trajectory is pointing towards that.
So John's new feature will be one ingredient recipes from now on. His handle will change to one ingredient chef.
Seriously,
which
it's item, all pre-cooked food.
Which item do you think will be the best for a one ingredient cooking?
What would be the best thing for one ingredient cooking? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's probably like a processed food or something.
My answer,
like a hot dog.
My answer is egg.
Egg? Oh, that's a good answer.
Super so many versatile. Things can do with an egg.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the thing like every normal chef would have said, but for some reason I went to hot dog.
You can take a boy out of Michigan.
You can't.
No, you can't take a boy out of Michigan.
He's not dying in Michigan. I'm still here.
But you can't.
Mm.
Okay, so earlier when we were talking about sugar.
Yeah.
So many people are doing this like no sugar like challenge for like 30 days.
Okay. But are they doing like no sugar, no sweeteners, or what is it?
I think just like no sugar, period.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think people are like interpreting how like ever they think it is.
Yeah.
But my favorite person right now on the world that's doing this is Carly Rae Jepsen.
Okay.
Every day she's been posting her no sugar journey.
Yeah.
She's currently on day 4.
Oh.
But this is yesterday. Day 3, no sugar update. Sadly retired the idea of a little morning chocolate. Accidentally cheated twice because turns out there's sugar in everything. I've just been a little crazy. To my surprise, I still have a boyfriend, so yay for that. And that was day three. Okay, so day four. Okay, it says day 97,638 days of no sugar. Okay, day four. I can't recall what happiness feels like. I no longer feel the need to wear real clothes in public. Sweatpants or pajamas will do. Cheese has become extremely important to me.
Oh my God. She's so funny. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Day four.
Day four. Day four. But like, you should be able, I feel like you should be able to have natural sugars, like natural sources of sugar, like fruit or stuff like that. Is she cutting it out completely?
I don't know.
Because you're,
you should ask,
because even down to that, like, your body needs that.
Oh, I don't know, but without it, we wouldn't have the no sugar challenge, and we wouldn't have this iconic gifts from Carly Rae Jepsen daily.
It's true. It's true. I might just have to follow her for this, like, for this alone.
For this journey.
Yeah, for this journey. Have you seen, did you see the Lobsticery chicken that Martha Stewart posted?
No.
She went to this restaurant, and for, like, I think $250, she bought this plate that was pretty much, like, a roast chicken, but, like, a lobster head was, like, stuffed on it and, like, lobster parts. So it was, the ultimate serving was, like, a chicken breast with a lobster tail with a chicken breast with a lobster tail. But the presentation was absolutely ridiculous, where they put, like, a lobster head on a roast chicken and the claws at the feet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, the tail covering, the, like, the chicken butthole. And people were like, making fun of it. And I was thinking possible Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very specific. And that's very specific. The Halloween costume, like, oh, here's a gay guy with another costume he has to explain.
Well, it's going to be one where it's, like, so ridiculous that, like, people will ask. Mm-hmm. But if you already get it, you get it. And that's, like, that's a
every
Halloween.
Every gay guy with their costume.
Right.
Every gay
that's
guy.
That's a Halloween.
You're not
that's
breaking any grounds here. That's every gay guy when they come
that's
with
a Halloween
costume.
Costume that I would post on my page but not wear in real life. Mm. Because it already will hit a segment of people that get the joke.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe sometimes it can just be completely Dadaist. If Heidi Klum can be a worm, I can be a Lobsticery chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not stopping you by any
She's
means.
Just worming around.
Yeah, go live your dreams.
Just worming around.
Yeah, do it. I said I want to be a worm, so yeah, make me a worm. Worm.
So iconic.
Heidi Klum is so good.
Have you started watching X-Men 97? Did you watch the show as a kid?
I've like read some of the comic, but X-Men was like too depressing for me because it was like the entire nation of people like hating on these like people with special talents and wanting to like exterminate them.
Mm-hmm. Hit a little too close to home.
Not even, but it was just like the overall tone of the
yeah.
This is my problem with a lot of like American superhero movies. It is very, very dark and depressing.
Yeah.
And I understand it's like a reflection of like society and all that in general. But if I have the option to watch that, or I have the option to watch Sailor Moon or Wedding Peach, where girls transform in pretty dresses and they like wave their like one stick around with like rainbow and glitter flies out of it.
Yeah.
And there's dark elements to those shows too, but at
very
least, like,
dark elements to some. Some of those elements get so dark that like American comic media could never.
But at least I get glamour and glitter.
It's true.
While it's supposed
it's
to, like,
true.
American like superhero, you get ugly costumes, and like super just like body con things, which is mean people.
Yeah.
That are traumatized.
I have started watching it, and it is extremely nostalgic, but it's also, like, very gay.
Mm.
It's very, very gay. And so good for that reason.
I mean, in the original, the fact that Cyclops chose to wear a suit that is a dark blue, but then he decided to wear yellow Speedo panties over.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's for like, sure. It's all gay.
I understand it's all this time.
It's not
but
just
like,
gay. It's like 80s is it like 70s, 80s? Like, it was of that era where just everything was gay and nobody knew.
Yeah. But like, original Cyclops like design is probably the gayest costume.
Mm-hmm. And they brought it back, baby.
Oh, did they really?
And they made it gayer. They made it gayer.
Wait, let me Google. Let me Google this. Google this situation.
X-Men 97. And look for, like, Google X-Men 97. Look for the video of Storm entering, like Storm's mm-hmm. entrance in X-Men 97. It's pure, unadulterated, uncut gay.
What streaming service is this on?
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, God, another thing I have to subscribe to watch.
Oh, you're not subscribed to Disney Plus?
No.
You get Hulu for free when you're subscribed to Disney Plus, though.
Oh, I already have Hulu. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, maybe I'll watch it one day.
Mm.
I just have other things I need to watch, like Physical 100. Are you watching Physical 100?
Oh, is that the Korean reality show?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Why not?
I don't really like reality shows.
Yeah, but Physical 100.
Or challenge shows or something like, or unscripted. Like, I think RuPaul's Drag Race is the only unscripted show that I've ever, like, watched more than two episodes of. Oh, not including Great British Bake Off. What? What was that?
Nothing.
Oh.
Gay.
Oh.
Gay.
Stupid.
No, but I feel like you should watch Physical 100 because I think you would find it really enjoyable. It is a reality challenge, but it's shot very, very beautifully.
Okay.
The cinematography is great, and like the homoeroticism aside. You get to see like 100 like athletes in Korea, like men or women.
Mm-hmm.
And they first like enter, and then there's like these like statures. That's exactly like their body. So then they have to go find like their statue and like stand there. And the first mm-hmm. challenge this season is they all have to run on a treadmill, and whoever runs the furthest distance in the treadmill. So then there's all these 100 people mm-hmm. in a room with 100 treadmills all running mm-hmm. at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just
at the same speed.
It won't a treadmill where like.
Oh, it's like one of those where like the harder you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what one you're talking about.
You control the speed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just shot like very artistically, and it's really interesting to watch and how like these people tackle the challenges and push themselves.
Interesting.
Maybe. I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, true. Maybe I'll watch it when I come over to your house.
Or just watch it at home. You don't have to come over here
like,
to watch it. Watch in the comfort of your
own home. I watch
so
many things that I would normally not watch when I'm at your place. Like, what was it? Runway?
Project Runway.
Mm-hmm. Would have never watched that. And then two episodes and I'm like hooked. But then mm-hmm. I came home. Well, then I left your house and I never watched another episode.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I've already seen these episodes, so you should just watch it in your home.
Okay, fine.
You're not going to watch it, are you?
I'm not going to want to watch it.
Just watch it. Why didn't you just watch it for me?
Huh?
I watched it. You tell me to watch.
Do you?
Yeah. I even watch every single TikTok video you send me. I know you for a fact that you don't watch all the videos I send you.
I do. I may not watch it at the time. I don't. But I do go back and I watch it. And just you. I respond to them. I respond to some of them. With messages and comments.
Where I've sent you a video and you send me the same exact video back 2 days later.
Yeah, well, that's just out of habit when I'm like doom scrolling on TikTok, which is like the only way to watch TikTok anymore.
Mm. All right.
And also, there are two people that I send videos to is you and Dylan. And sometimes I get it mixed up who I'm sending it to.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll let you off the hook. This time.
But honestly, like watching the videos that people send you mm-hmm. is the only reliable way to watch TikTok anymore.
They've been curated for you if someone is sending it to you, you know?
Exactly.
And they think it relates to you in some way, or you find it entertaining?
In some way, like, the For You page doesn't do that anymore. The For You page is trying to sell you shit. So now it's just like, oh, yeah, private messages, videos and private messages, elite, elite video, curated. I mean,
yes, there's a lot of junk, but this week, the hot topic is Jennifer Lopez slander.
Oh, my God.
Every other video that I get is either people sharing their personal experience with Jennifer Lopez and how awful it was. Yes. Or people like digging up past videos of like Jennifer Lopez and things she said and fact checking them.
Yes.
Or people just like dragging Jennifer Lopez and why she's no longer
relevant.
You see
the one girl who went to like school with J-Lo and was like, you're not Jenny from the block. You have to. There is one that went to the same school that she did.
Oh my God.
You went to an all-girls Catholic school.
Like, this, the whole like Jennifer Lopez is done movement just came out of nowhere. And obviously it's not going to affect Jennifer Lopez's like day-to-day life.
No, of course not.
But it's so funny because in a way I feel like she probably, objectively, she's a great actress. Like, she should stick to that and just not make
actually
music.
Like, Enough was such a good movie.
Mm. Of all her movies, Enough is the one.
That's the one that came to mind. Enough. And what's the one where she went into the guy's mind?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't think of it.
That was a beautiful movie. That was during The Cell. Yeah, that was like during the era of film where people were really into like fucking surrealism. Like
Sunshine or Donnie Darko or
Donnie Darko.
What Dreams May Come.
The one with Robin. What Dreams May Come. Oh my God. That was such a good movie. That's the Robin Williams one going to heaven and hell.
Yeah, they don't make
those
kind of movies anymore.
So good. So good. Yeah. Oh my. If you've never seen What Dreams May Come, basically it's Robin Williams and like the most creative interpretations of heaven and hell you have ever seen. Like,
it's like
it
dealing
is
dealing with like grief, you know.
When it was a painting.
Yeah.
When it was made of paint. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. So good. And the reason why we don't get film like that anymore is because all the movie studios are owned by private equity firms and like, you know,
it's all about
conglomerates and stuff and like that. And they're all worried about turning a profit, and art does not necessarily equate to profit. So just remember that. Good content only comes from people who actually want to make art.
That's true. Yeah, it's so sad. Because I was just thinking today too, like, I mean, 90s and 80s, there were a lot of problems.
And here is the thing though. In the 90s and the 80s, they were saying music was going to shit back then too.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they didn't really, but at least back then, even though the music industry were like, you know, they were run by executives, they were run by executives in the music industry. So yeah, it did get a little more formulaic. But like, now it's not executives in the music industry that are determining what music. Now it's like freaking CEOs of conglomerates and business people going like, oh, people like this, it's a trend, follow the trend. Like, don't try to experiment because there's no money in experimentation. But it's not even that. It's not even music anymore. It's fashion. Fashion is the same way. Couture is not the same as couture used to be back then. Everyone wants to do like ready-to-wear fast fashion and stuff. But now we're also seeing it in engineering. Hello, Boeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when like pleasing the shareholders is more important than making a safe fucking airplane.
I mean, the world is going away where it stopped being about like people's best interest a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, and that was a spiraling out again on how the world is terrible.
We almost made it. We almost did it. Like it we're at an hour.
What do you mean?
The last segment was like almost 40 minutes, so we almost made the whole hour without spiraling.
We did.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of listener questions this week.
Oh, sweet.
This is from Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there. Thanks for the podcast. I look forward to it every week. I want to ask each of you, what is your go-to comfort foods are? I just lost my dad to cancer and I'm devastated. Cooking brings me joy and distraction. and I need all the comfort I can get, but it's impossible to come up with ideas or make decisions right now. The dishes can be simple or complicated. Both will do me good depending on how I feel each day. Thanks so much. All right, first of all, Aaron, my condolences to you and your family.
Same.
Yeah, so like, sad. That's devastating.
I'm sorry. Well, if it's like doing a comfort food that's like making you feel better or in this situation, it might also help to make like when grieving and stuff, sometimes it might help to actually make your dad's favorite thing in his memory. If his favorite comfort food might be nice. Unless you are trying to just like forget about the experience and escape for a little bit, I always turn to any kind of soup or stew or something that is warm. That is always very comforting to me. And it's such a like a, it's a slow and relaxing process where like you do the chopping, you're by like a warm oven, and it's like a slow, steady cooking. Like there's no real stressful portion of it if you know what you're doing and if you have things planned out. But yeah, apart from like a stew, I would look into cooking maybe something that like your dad would have liked, and then enjoying that around people in his memory.
And what if they don't want a reminder of the dad? Maybe they want to forget.
Oh, make stew.
And escape stew? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess for me, like, everyone has like a different like idea of like what their comfort food is.
Mm.
For me, it's usually rice. Mm. Rice dishes are like my comfort food. And I guess the things that I like to make normally when I'm like just looking for comfort food is sushi bake.
Mm.
Because first of all, it's really easy. You just cook the rice, season it with, you know, like rice wine vinegar, sugar and salt. And then I always have like frozen salmon like in the freezer. I usually have like cream cheese and like scallions and like mayo and sriracha. So yeah, so I just like mix all those ingredients up and put it on top of the rice and then bake it and then eat it with seaweed. So it's like more convenient than like making like sushi, but you get the flavors of the sushi.
Yeah.
But then also it's really easy to eat, easier to like store the ingredients or the leftovers if you don't finish it.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So that's present for me. That's what I would do. So, but again, I hope you and your family are staying stronger than ever, and also loving one another at this time. The next question. I don't know what this person's name is, but hi, my angels. I'm such a devoted fan of your podcast. It's absolutely the best and most healing vibes every single episode, no matter what the topic or trajectory things end up going. I blame John's ADHD.
Yeah, it's me too.
I'm just pointing fingers at everyone but me. You give me life when I'm on the way to work or simply any other time I'm feeling like hell. Thank you both for that. I want to ask a fairly non-food related question, although who's to say how astrology might affect food preferences? What are your sun, moon, rising signs? It's just a hobby of mine, which is why I'm curious. You both give me earth sign energy to me, but who knows? Are you an earth sign?
I have a co-star. I don't know really anything about like Western astrology.
You got to know what your astrological sign is, though.
I know my sun sign, but I don't know like what it means. And I know, okay, here, I found my sun, moon, rising. I have the co-star app where it tells you everything about you and like how your day is going to go. But okay. I just do it to show people my chart when they ask.
Mm.
So I am an Aries sun, which I know is a fire sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a Gemini moon. And I hear that's a red flag for some people. And then I am a Pisces rising.
Okay. I know what my sun and moon sign is. I don't know what the rising signs are. My sun sign is I'm a Leo. I'm a fire sign.
Mm.
And then I'm a moon Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Is Taurus a fire sign?
I think Taurus is earth.
Let me Google. I guess it is earth sign. So I'm fire and earth.
You're lava.
But I don't know what that means. I don't know. Astrology. I mean, I think it's fun, but I like also try not to like focus on it too much because I feel like.
Yeah. I think sign things are just generic enough that it applies mm-hmm. to anyone who just reads them and thinks that they are them. Like they can see themselves.
It's always like loosely written in a way where like you can like relate it back to yourself somehow.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, like someone to astrology, like results would be like, you're passionate about the things you like. I'm like, isn't that everyone?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. I think like what it, I think sun signs are the, are sun signs are the side of you that you present. Mm-hmm. Your moon signs are the side of you that you feel on the inside. And then your rising are mm-hmm. the, is the sign that you present when you meet people for the, I don't, I think I'm, yeah, no, this, I'm probably like, so wrong.
If you hate something, you really hate it. And I'm like, yeah, if right. I really hate it, I'm gonna really gonna hate it. Like what?
Right. It's like, yeah.
Young. But yeah, just there are signs for you.
Yeah, there are signs.
And then one last question is from Josh. Hi, John and Kim. First of all, I love your podcast so much. Thank you for creating a space for queer individuals with shared passion for food to have discussions that happens in and around the kitchen. My question is, any tips on how to make the perfect shumai? How do you make it? I've been making since I was 11, and I always felt like I can never perfect it. I always tend to either undercook or overcook it, or the wrapper always separates and falls off. I've actually never made shumai before, so I can't really give you an answer there.
I would increase the amount of cornstarch. Because cornstarch yeah. tends to make it make the thing not only does it make the meat like juicy mm-hmm. and bouncy, but it also makes it more sticky when adhering to it. So when you're steaming it, the cornstarch is what helps bind the meat to the wrapper.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so again, I've never cooked shumai for myself, but I have watched a lot of tutorials and videos on how to make shumai.
Yeah.
And a lot of the videos always say like when you're mixing all the ingredients, stir in one direction.
In one direction. Going. I always do that too. I don't know why.
Well, because it's supposed to like create like these like muscle fibers, right? Or something
I guess. Like that. Or yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's just something that I've always been taught and I was just like, I just never questioned it.
Yeah, like it is what it is. Like I'm not going to fight with like ancient wisdom from like
exactly.
grandmamas across the globe who's been making these for years or like it's generations. Like,
well, why don't you know why? I was like, mm-hmm. I just have never needed to know why.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This method has worked for millions of people.
cornstarch. Add a little bit more cornstarch. Okay. Otherwise.
Now I want shumai.
Me too.
I like those shumai that has like, you know, like pork and shrimp chopped up, but also like a lot of like mushroom. Like that crunchy mushroom. Is it woodier?
Yes, the bouncy black one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good yeah. stuff.
Actually, maybe I will go make some shumai today. Do you have a recipe that
Do I have a recipe? I don't have a recipe personally, no.
Oh, fuck you. That's our podcast for the week. Thank you for Thanks. Listening. If you like what you heard, comment, subscribe, like. If you don't, well, fuck you too.
Oh, I'm going to do a shout out for our friends really quick. Literally Gaysians has mm-hmm. a Patreon that they do that I'm actually mm-hmm. in the process of joining right now. So if you listen to that one, just know. And maybe you can like support them and support gay Asian, queer Asian podcasting, yes. not just ours.
We're good friends with them. We've actually been on their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Separately. They're good people.
Yeah.
And one of them is unemployed, so... If you like their podcast, subscribe.
Yeah. They're both expensive.
Yeah.
People.
Yes. Yeah. But one just recently got a job, so who knows for that? But they haven't started working yet, so they still need money. Okay.
Oh, their graphic for your episode is so cute.
It's like really detailed.
Oh my gosh.
He was like showing me. And you know me, like I don't really like look over anything. So he was showing me like, did you know that there's like a picture of butter in there? And I'm like, no. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even notice all the detail. I just saw one big giant thing of me.
It's got you and with your like sushi, your, what was it? Your Grubhub
thing? The Postmates.
Postmates thing. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
All right. So thank you, everyone. And if you have a listener question, don't forget to ask us on our Instagram, One for the Table. That's number one for the table. And until next time, have a fabulous week and move to LA. Just kidding, don't move here. It's overcrowded as it is.
Yeah, I was about to say. Bye, everybody.